Following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 7th chapter, text number 33, given by Sri Aranda Srupdas on August 6, 1991, in Philadelphia. By these activities, as mentioned above, as previous verses, one is able to cut down the influence of the enemies, namely, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. And when thus situated, one can render service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As mentioned in verses 30 and 31, one's first duty is to approach the spiritual master, the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to begin rendering service to him. Prahlad Maharaj proposed that from the very beginning of life, Kaumara Acharet Prajnaha, a small child should be trained to serve the spiritual master while living at the Gurukula. Brahmachari Gurukulai Vasandhanta Guru Rashtam. It's Bhagavatam 7:12:1. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Guru Parashrayaha Sadhu Bhagavan Bhagavatam Saddharma Pritcha. By following the instructions of the Guru and the Shastras, the disciple attains to the stage of devotional service and becomes unattached to possessions. Whatever he possesses, he offers to the spiritual master, the Guru, who engages him in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. The disciple follows strictly, and in this way learns how to control his senses. Then by using his pure intelligence, he gradually becomes a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami, Adar Shraddha Tataha Sadhu Sangaha. In this way, one's life becomes perfect, and his attachment for Krishna becomes positively manifested. In that stage, he is situated in ecstasy, experiencing bhava and anubhava, as explained in the following verse. Then we'll go back a few verses, because this text refers to the previous verses. So, having discussed the shortcomings of material existence, we understand, Prahlad explains to us that the duty of everyone is to take to Krishna consciousness, and to become free from birth and death in the material world. Be one of a thousand who tries to achieve perfection. Not very many uninterested. They're simply interested in trying to satisfy the senses in the material world. And thus, prepare for their own doom again and again and again, missing out on actual life. But some will be interested and actually achieving a full human potential, which is not to have to die anymore. So those people, what path should they take? So here Prahlad gives us some definitive advice. He says, of the different, this is text 29, I'm going back. Of the different processes recommended for different, of the different processes recommended for disentanglement from material life, the one personally explained and accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be considered all perfect. That process is the performance of duties by which love for the Supreme Lord develops. So that's his advice. And there are many processes. The verse actually has sahasranam, out of many thousands of processes. And so you're in perplexity. What process should I take? Then he says, follow that which is instructed by the Supreme Lord. And then we see in Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself analyzes many different processes and concludes that since they all are different ways of coming to Him in one manner or another, just come directly and surrender to Him. So that's the process that you should take, which Krishna recommends Himself. Why waste your time with anything else? He is the supreme authority, so why should we waste our time with anyone else? So then next, one must accept the bona fide spiritual master. Now Prahlada Maharaj explains this process. It begins with Guru Shushusha. One should accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service under him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master. And in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, fear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly, according to the injunctions of the Shastra and Guru. One should always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His localized representation as the Paramatma, who is situated in the core of every living entity's heart. Thus one should offer respect to every living entity according to that living entity's position or manifestation. So then we come to today's verse. By these activities that have just been described, one is able to cut down the influence of the enemies and lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. When thus situated, one can render service to the Lord. In this way, one surely attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality, God. So, here, this is the system outlined by Krishna, and it begins with this. One should approach a spiritual master. Well, who is the spiritual master? That is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how we make our life successful. How do we know what a successful life is? How do we know how to do it? Well, you hear so many different opinions in the marketplace. Philosophers, opinion makers, are all telling us this is success. You can hear 15, 30, 40, 50 different ideas of what constitutes success. And most of the people don't know. They're confused. What should I do? Here it is, I'm born into this world, I've got 60, 70, 80 years. What do I do with it? What's it for? No one knows. They can't tell you the first thing. What's it for? They have no idea. This, most people, it just for sense gratification. Here you are, you've got your senses, these handy little tools for pleasure, use them. God gave it to you, what's it for? Use them. So you become an animal. They also have their little tools for pleasure and they use them. And so do you. And that's it, it's all over. I can't offer any more advice. Or then maybe you think, well, there's something really gross about that, you know. There should be something higher. And I say, you shouldn't be so selfish. You should serve others. Okay, I serve others. What do I do? I help them use their tools for sense gratification, that's all. This is considered higher. But the whole business is, again, sense gratification. So, now that I've helped my family gratify its senses, or I die for my country, this is, I was brought up in this service attitude. My father was a military man. And we were taught, in my family as we grew up, that, that We were different from other people, people we called civilians. Because they lived selfish lives. They spent their time simply earning money for themselves. But somebody like my father was actually ready, this was his job, to lay down his life at a moment's notice when called upon by the government for others. And it's true. It's quite true. It is an honor to go to war, it goes to war without a second stop. And we have a life in the military, which I grew up in, a lot of sacrifices. My father would go away for 2 years at a time, long separations, moved every 1, 2, or 3 years. I went to 12 different schools and 12 years of schooling. We lived in substandard housing. I remember my mother one time trying to sweep the floor of our house. It was a dirt floor. She couldn't figure out how to sweep a dirt floor. And some of the austerity is involved in military life, you know. But we endured it, something higher. So we were different from the civilians. But I always used to wonder, I hear my father sacrifice, we're all sacrificing so much. For what? For our country. What is our country? Well, it's just made up of civilians. So why are we doing all this for these people who we look down upon as leading selfish, narrow lives and much like for others? It seems ultimately meaningless, all this sacrifice. Sometimes higher principles are invoked, but it's called extended selfishness. Narrow selfishness or extended selfishness. When you're prepared to lay down your life for others or sacrifice for others, what is it are you sacrificing for? Simply for another meaningless life with no achievement. No achievement means you create something temporary that's destroyed by time. So people don't know of any higher purpose. This is discouraging to everybody if they don't know what to do. So how do we know what is the purpose of life? How can we find out amidst all this confusion? Well, the answer is that it has to come to us from some kind of authority. Who is an authority? Here it says approach a guru. Guru means an authority. Now this approaching a guru in this way, as has been described in the previous verse, with all submission, with rendering menial service, with accepting on such a high position. The modern world doesn't see eye to eye with this. Why is that? Because they don't believe that anyone is an authority. The concept is gone. Because authority depends upon tradition. If I am an authority, what has made me an authority? Who has authorized me? Because authority means you've been authorized. Set up as an authority, we have people that take that position of authority, but that authority has critics. We think the bigger authority, the more critics that person should have, because ultimately we don't trust authority. So it's considered healthy. If somebody is an authority, there should be somebody else shooting them down all the time, just to keep us safe from being misled. Or really to keep us from being led at all. Because out of fear of being misled, no one's led. Because ultimately, who can say that? Here is somebody that we can trust fully. There is no such thing, as far as they're concerned. But we follow authority. But who is the authority? Ultimately, there is only one authority. One person who is self-authorizing. And that has to be the absolute truth for God. Anyone who is an authority has to be authorized by someone else. When you say, who is his authority? Well, go to someone else. Who's his authority? Well, finally you have to come to a self-authorizing person. Who is that? The absolute truth. Of Krishna. If you think there is no absolute truth, then of course there is no authority. And that's what the modern world. They don't think there is an absolute truth. They don't think there is an origin of everything. They don't think there is something on which everything depends, but which itself doesn't depend upon anything else. That's the problem. This is a diabolical, demonic view. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, the characteristics of those who are demons. They think that the world is asat, unreal. Apratishtam has no foundation. Anishwaram is without a controller. It just doesn't have any substance to it. And whatever you believe is true, that's true. Because there's no authority, there's no absolute truth, and everyone makes up his own reality and lives it. Haven't you heard? If you believe it's true for you. This is the point. What happens when you accept it? There's no... There is, from the idea that there is no ruler, that there is no source, anarchy comes. And gradually, human life becomes unlivable. So, the other side is, we accept this fact that everything has an author. The creation has an author. Therefore there is an authority. If you accept that that creator is most intelligent, then you also have to accept that when he made the earth and the universe, he also gave instructions how to use it. So we have the instructions for human society. It is not that everything is up for grabs. It is not that you can be whatever you want to be according to your whim. It's not that you can make yourself up as you go along. What people are trying to do. No, we have ways we're supposed to behave, we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Both for living prosperously in this life or material well-being, and also for attaining ultimate liberation. So that's the system. So this has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It says, in Srimad Bhagavatam, instead of like this, to benefit all human society, not only in this life, but in the next, great seers and sages have prescribed various methods conducive to the prosperity of the people in general. One who follows the principles and instructions enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Then comes a text in which I'm really interested in. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculations and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. This is a very important verse. They lay down unimpeachable directions. You can't go wrong. How can they lay down unimpeachable directions? Because they follow Krishna. So Prabhupada explains this in the purport. He says, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable directions given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Notice he brings up this liberated notion. Because that's how you can know if directions are unimpeachable. If one is under the sway of lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy, you can't give unimpeachable directions. One has to be free from these things. One has to be liberated. And he explains, because conditioned souls have defects which prevent us from giving unimpeachable directions. He says, presently, people are so fallen that they cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. In other words, they think everyone is conditioned. There's no authority. In other words, everyone's mind is distorted. There's a field of study, called the history of ideas. And the premise is that everyone's view of the world or outlook is conditioned by our social and historical position. This is quite true. Any intellectuals we turn to for guidance, their view of the absolute truth is going to be historically, culturally relative. And therefore, because of that relativity, we can only study how they change according to the different material circumstances that people are in. Conditioned. It does not occur to them that there could be somebody whose knowledge is not socially and historically and economically conditioned. Is such a thing possible? Couldn't we have people, intelligentsia, Brahmins, you know this word intelligentsia, anybody from Eastern Europe knows it, we don't know it in America, intellectuals, whose knowledge is not socially and historically conditioned. Nobody will say no. They all say no. Karl Marx, used this idea of socially and historically conditioned knowledge to show that so-called knowledge was merely an instrument of oppression of the ruling classes. But Marx himself, that was his knowledge was socially and historically conditioned too. So it doesn't really tell us the truth about history. So how do you get someone who can give guidance to society whose knowledge is not bound by his particular historical, cultural, economic circumstances? He has to be a liberated soul. What conditions him? Lust, greed, anger, material desires. Material desires is what causes these to be bound in this way. The Prophet says, a conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He is sure to commit mistakes. He is sure to become illusioned. He has a tendency to cheat others, and his senses are imperfect. That we all see. So there it is, no knowledge is possible. But then the Prophet says, consequently, we have to take direction from liberated persons. That's why we're unimpeachable. They're liberated persons. Liberated persons we can trust. So therefore, then we have to tell who is liberated and who is not. Then the Prabhupada says, how we do it. He says, this Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of the material nature. So that is how we receive instructions. We have to follow people who are strictly following Krishna. It directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From whom do we directly receive instructions? Through whom? From people who are strictly following his instructions. This is how you tell a liberated person. Prabhupada says, we're so fallen we can't tell who's liberated, who's not. And because he'll say people, well, he must be liberated. Look how gracefully he walks. Look how sweet his smile. You know, people have various things. They can't tell. It's all over the world people are accepting someone who's liberated or is an authority. So Prabhupada doesn't say, he says, how do we know? He says, persons who are strictly following his instructions. That's how we know. And then he says, although a follower may not be a liberated person, so he now says, even if someone is not liberated, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. So he's saying, that's all you have to worry about. All you have to worry about is strictly following. If someone is strictly following, even if that person isn't liberated, for all practical purposes, is liberated. So that's what we look for. Not try to have to read somebody's mind, try to have to figure something out. Look, it's public, it's behavior. Who is strictly following? That person we can follow. And then Prabhupada enforces this. Lord Chaitanya therefore said, by my order you may become a spiritual master. Buddhist defines what a spiritual master is. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. That's what it takes. It's a very simple thing. You have to have complete faith in Krishna. And I think, well, maybe Krishna's wrong here, maybe Krishna's wrong there. You understand his position, his absolute truth. And then we follow his instructions. That person can give unimpeachable directions to everyone who strictly follows the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, if we don't follow such people, everything is baffled. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation. I mean, that's what's going on, huh? Everybody's manufacturing their ways and means through mental speculation. They have no idea what to do. They're self-authorizing. So these people, they manufacture their own ways and means. They don't recognize the authority of the sages who lay down these unimpeachable directions. Those people are unsuccessful again and again in their attempts. They botched the whole thing. The whole world was a botch because of this. And nothing else will rescue it. There's no other rescue unless we actually return to the established system laid down by Krishna. Nothing else will work. Because it's about fail again and again in their attempts. They won't achieve that. Not only will they not achieve anything spiritual, but they'll mess everything up materially too. That we can see. They won't even be successful materially. And of course, in the process of enjoying the earth, they'll destroy it. That's the problem. Usually such people, they come in like the Vandals, you know. The Vandals were that Germanic tribe who sacked Rome. Well, they came, they didn't really come to destroy Rome, they came to have a good time. I heard it was a place where there was a lot of sense gratification, beautiful women, gold, jewels, food and everything. So they just came down in hordes from the north and went into Rome and had a party. In the process of that party, they destroyed Rome. So then what do you do when you live like that? Then you move on to the next town. When you have people with that mentality doing it to the whole planet Earth, there's nowhere else to go. You're just going to have to live amid your own ruins and your own devastation. Because of completely unregulated sense gratification, because of concocting your own ways and means. So this is our system of Krishna consciousness. The directions for human life have been laid down. They've been given. They've been handed down by Krishna. They're perfect. And one has to accept them. From authorities. How do we claim to be an authority? Because we follow the parampara system. The problem is when people claim to be masters or spiritual masters without being disciples. The position is to be a disciple, to be the follower of the previous spiritual masters, which comes down from Krishna. And in this way, everything has been handed down. This is tradition. So the modern world has broken with these traditions, so they can't leave anything. So here Prahlad again, this is telling how it is human life is supposed to be conducted. This is the way. Give up all these ideas for achieving happiness through sense gratification, which is doomed to failure at the very outset. Who's succeeded? It's a historic failure. No one has ever become happy by this method. So the path has been laid down. This is the instruction that one must accept a spiritual master and follow the spiritual master very faithfully. That's the sequence. He mentioned this adarshada. First of all, there is some preliminary interest or faith in Krishna consciousness. Then one will associate with devotees, sadhu sangha, and by association with devotees, begin to live a life of Krishna consciousness. Then bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya means that one has to accept the spiritual master and perform devotional service under guidance. This is the system. And from that, one stage after another develops. Has been given by Rupa Goswami, and that is what we follow. This is the way that one can advance, control the senses, and achieve success in life. Otherwise, one will be overwhelmed. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, jealousy. One will become driven by this, these menus. The lust menu, the anger menu, the greed menu. They'll run our lives for us. So, but if if we follow these other actions, we follow the practices of Krishna consciousness under proper direction, everything will, enemies will gradually be cut down, and then we'll become liberated. We'll be able to fully engage in devotional service of Krishna to complete control of the senses. Guaranteed. Any questions? Yes?
No,
what is the knowledge that comes from the illusory energy? Knowledge that I am my body? That's false. And some of it's limited, but true. For example, I can tell you practical things. If you add sodium to water, sodium bicarbonate and water, it will bubble up. So there's some practical things. The speed limit's 55 miles an hour in Pennsylvania. I guess that's knowledge coming from the illusory energy. It's true. It's good for practical things. But these are not very significant. They're just things that we need to know for getting along. It's like knowledge of a trade. It's not really vidya. But I guess it's completely false. Human beings evolved from the apes, you know. So we don't take any of it too seriously. But it has its limited application usefulness. If we can use it in Krishna service, then we use it. If it's against the principles of devotional service, then we reject it. So we can tell. We have a system for sifting it out, whether it's conducive or not conducive to Krishna consciousness, whether it's favorable or unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Any questions, ma'am?
Like you were saying how much in your presence, and that we feel so that we do accept and understand the subject of the entity. Because it's a sentence that we...
Yeah. Because actually, of course, in one sense, you have no choice but to accept an authority. For example, everybody in this room probably believes there's a country called Cambodia. Say, none of us have been there. Exactly what place nobody's been. None of us has been there, but we all believe it exists. No, because we accept the authority. We look at a map, and that's an authority. And if you look, 99% of what we believe, even about this material world, we believe in fact on authority. So the material scientists are in the position of authority also, and people tend to believe them. But then at the same time, their authority is such that people believe them, even when they're always changing their position. And it's in one sense, if a scientist says, what I told you yesterday was wrong, what I'm telling you today is the truth, people still believe them. Even though they've just been informed that they've been lied to, in effect, been misled, they still, because they say they're scientists, one who has knowledge. So the common people, they follow the material scientists, it's true. They act in that way to some extent. But of course, those sciences themselves, at least in matters other than, practical things, they also, there's no authority, their own philosophy is everything based on experiment, everything based on mental speculation. So they themselves, they can't provide you any direction for life. So these are the so-called intellectuals who are supposed to guide society. But you ask them, well, tell us, what are we supposed to do? I can't tell you that. I don't know. Sure. Because Krishna has put them under his illusory potency. So it's a real illusion. Huh? So because it's coming from Krishna, it's real. But what is it real? It's a real illusion. It's not an illusory illusion. Okay? It's that.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.